Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares explains the difference between judgment and condemnation.
Romans 8:1, what does it say? There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ. So condemnation, the suffering and inflicting of a penalty because of my sin, gone. You throw yourself on the mercy of God, you cling to His grace, and then your sin was condemned in Christ. And then we read these great lines like this, there is no condemnation for those in Christ.
When you go to the farmer's market, you use scales to weigh your produce and determine how much you'll pay. But wouldn't it be great if instead of charging you that amount, the vendor said, you're covered. There's even some change coming to you. Well, for believers, that's how the scales of justice can work. On Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares talks about living rightly in light of God's coming judgment. We're exploring the surprising final judgment we'll experience and how that impacts the way we live today.
We will be graded, and our lives and how we live them. So we need to get back to what the Word of God says as it relates to this important topic. So many choices we have to make about, you know, how are you going to spend your money? How are you going to spend your time? How are you going to spend your vacation? How are you going to spend your leisure time in the evenings? All of those choices that we make, they're not expressly laid out for us in the Bible. You have to choose those things, and you ought to do that with a great deal of care in light of our coming judgment. At least that's one of the ways judgment is utilized by the Holy Spirit in the argument of Romans chapter 14 as we get back into this topic of gray areas. Would you look at it with me? Let's read verse 4 just to get us back in the context. Verse number 1, we're talking about these quarrels that can break out in the church about things that aren't expressly prohibited or commanded. They're stated here or translated here, at least opinions. I think we shouldn't. He brings up one topic. Verses 2 and 3 of food, you saw that. We studied that last time. And then in verse 4, he says this. Why are you throwing rocks at each other? Why are you, verse 4, passing judgment on the servant of another? Who are you to do that? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And that doesn't mean go to heaven or go to hell. In this context, it's talking about Christians either standing with the praise and favor of God, not the justification favor of God, but the sanctification favor, and by that I mean God saying, that's well done, the commendation that comes from God, or falling, and that means they're not going to get that. And they're thinking, well, if we abstain, then that's got to be either the winning group or the losing group, or if I partake in the meat, that's got to be a winning group or a losing group, and that's going to be a mind blower for him. But he says, listen, he will be upheld. There's winners on both sides of these gray areas. Why? For the Lord is able to make him stand. Now, there's a lot of qualifications that are laid out in Romans 14. They get beyond the things that we talked about last time. We're going to look at how my decisions impact other people, our testimony, my conscience. But we know that at the end of the day, two people may decide on a quote-unquote gray area how to spend their vacation, how to spend their money, how to spend their time, and they may both receive the praise of God because God is able to do that. There are variables involved here that we need to consider. Number one on your outline, let's just understand the Bible on, let's put it in quotes here, judgment. Now, judgment is going to be used in two ways in our passage, okay? The Christian's judgment and our passing of judgment, okay? Just to give you some establishing verses, let's go to the end of the book, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, there is two groups of people in view, right? Christians and non-Christians. People that are redeemed and people that aren't redeemed. People that are being sanctified and people that never will and don't want to be. Verse 11. This is Rev 22:11. Let the evildoer still do evil. But this in a prophetic sense from heaven as it's being broadcast in this apocalyptic book. Hey, they're going to keep on doing evil and the filthy are still going to be filthy. There's the non-Christians, the unredeemed person, the person that doesn't give a rip about God's law. And let the righteous still do right and let the holy still be holy. So you got two groups there. You see them? Because behold, I am coming, Christ says, bringing my recompense. That's something that comes on the other side of judgment. My recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. We're going to talk about non-Christian judgment. We're going to talk about Christian judgments, Christians and non-Christians. Let's look back two chapters to Rev 20, and let's start with the first one, which is the bad one. We'll call it, number one on your outline once you turn to Rev 20, we'll call it the judgment of condemnation. Let's put that number one on our outlines. God's got two scheduled judgments coming up, or at least two kinds. There's actually five scheduled judgments on God's eschatological calendar, but they fall into two categories. And the second one, which is not a good one, is the judgment that results in condemnation. Look down to verse 15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And everyone who's unredeemed, whose name is not written in the book of life, they are in the right line, and the books are going to be opened, and what's going to happen? Middle of verse 12. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books. Okay, now I don't want to extrapolate too far in this passage, but I got a book, the book of life, that's important, should you be in this line. Okay, we call it the, at least I do here in this sermon, the judgment of condemnation. It's uncomfortable, but it's what the Bible teaches. The good news is, you don't have to be in the line. Right? Did we already say that? There's a book that gets you out of the line. It's called the Book of Life. How do you get into the Book of Life? You repent of your sins, which is a turning in your heart from sin to God. You put your trust in the only payment for sin, which is a place where God's wrath has already been. It's called the cross of Jesus Christ. You throw yourself on the mercy of God. You recognize the sin that you deserve, his punishment, is real in your life, and you cling to his grace, and then your sin was condemned in Christ. And then we read these great lines like this from Romans 8:1. What does it say? There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ. So condemnation, the suffering and inflicting of a penalty because of my sin, gone. So the good news is, don't go to this judgment. Avoid it if you can. And what you need to do is become a Christian. That's how we say it in the vernacular. Become a Christian. And you won't have to be in this line and never experience this judgment. That's good news. I'd suggest that you do that. I think that's a good idea. That makes sense to me. There's another evaluation. It's the one in view in Romans chapter 14 in our passage. It is talking about the servants of Christ standing before the bema of God, the raised platform of God. It's not this judgment. It's a judgment that happens earlier in the text. Matter of fact, you're in Revelation still? Are you still in Revelation? Have I turned you any other place? How about chapter 11? Revelation 11, 18. The nations raged, your wrath has come, for the time for the dead to be judged, and the rewarding of your servants, the prophets and the saints and those who fear your name, both, much like the great white throne, small and great. Whether it's the small saint or the big saint, whether it's the small, inconsequential, just run-of-the-mill Christian, or whether it's the outstanding, prominent Christian, all of them will be rewarded. That is what's in view in Romans 14. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment of God, the judgment seat of God, and we will give an account for our lives. There will be an evaluation of our lives. And according to this passage in Rev 11, what comes after is not condemnation. It is, put this down, number two, make sure you spell it right, and I'll try to say it right all the time, commendation. It's a little spelling twist, but a huge difference. Commendation. Com, like con, is a Latin intensifier. Mandation, or mendere in Latin, means to assign or entrust or to commit some good to someone. Okay? If the first one, condemnation, is the judgment of punishment, the second judgment is the judgment of reward. We get from God reward for what we do that is good. And since not everyone is doing the same amount of good. Some people are bearing fruit 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Guess what you can count on when it comes to the judgment seat for Christians? Well, you can certainly count on this. Everyone's going to get a different response from God. Well, what will that be? Just a crown? I don't know. They don't look too good on me anyway. I'm not really into the crowns. Get past the crown thing, would you? Okay. The crown thing in the Bible is simply a visual indicator of something in your life that is good. God giving to you in response to your good deeds in five areas, and I try to make them memorable by giving them all R's. Are you ready? R number one, riches. That's what Luke 16:11 calls it. It calls it true riches. If you're squandering and not a good Christian with earthly riches, who's going to entrust you true riches? That means that there is some kind of monetary source, some kind of valued thing in the New Jerusalem, in the place where you live, and you're going to get your New Jerusalem Bank debit card or whatever it is going to have different amounts of riches assigned to you based on your life, how you lived. Okay? I thought it was we're all under grace. We all under grace. We're all saved and adopted into the family because of the pure, unmerited grace of God. But now, Jesus is constantly saying stuff like this. Hey, don't store up for yourself treasure on earth. Store up for yourself what? Treasure in heaven. I want you to care about eternity. Seek the things above. You need to make sure that you're living for the next life because I will reward my servants, the prophets and the saints, those who fear my name. He's going to reward. His reward is with him, Rev 22 says. So riches is one. Here's the other one, real estate. You need a place to stay. Okay? In the same passage in Luke 16, he's talking about the manager of an estate, and he says this, if you are not faithful here with this stuff, who's going to entrust to you stuff of your own? And the context is property of your own. And even some translations put that word there because that's clearly the context. Who's going to give you real property, property that you can keep because you can't keep any of the property you have now? Every bit of money that you invest in real estate, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, go for it, fine, just know this, you're not going to experience it for very long. But how you live your life as a Christian will determine your real estate over there, right? Your crown, distinguish that. Your riches, crown. Your real estate, crown. Here's another one in Scripture, reputation. We're going to have various riches, various real estate, and various degrees of reputation. Jesus said to those that were following him that were not all that honored in their society. This was after the whole encounter with the rich young ruler who was honored in society. Peter raises his hand after the whole thing and says, what about us? And he said this, hey, you who followed me in this life, and particularly those 12 that gave up everything, Peter said, we've left everything to follow you. He said, you will be sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There's a lot of authority that comes with that, right? He talks later about sitting at my right hand or my left. Oh yeah, that's going to be determined. But we got to wait for everything to happen, and then we'll see who sits at my right hand and my left. You don't want to be sitting, you know, in the corner of the kingdom. Reputation will matter. You got riches, you got real estate, you got reputation, and then you've got responsibility. I know we think, well, I don't want any responsibility. You will there. When Jesus said this, you know this, we quote it all the time. I quoted at the end of the sermon last time, and that is this, well done, good and faithful servant. Do you know the next line? Well, depending on who he's talking to in that passage, he says this, take charge of 5 cities. Well done, good and faithful servant. Take charge of 10 cities. Now, you don't even want to serve on your local city council. I get it. I don't either, right? What's the point? When you get to the kingdom, it's going to be a perfect place with perfect people in perfect cities. You will have no sin. This will be a responsibility that will be a pleasure, right? It will relate to your reputation based on your responsibility. 10 cities, 5 cities, that seems to matter to God, and it's based on how faithful you were as a steward in God's family. Riches, real estate, responsibility, reputation, relationships, right? Not sure how this works, but, you know, I think if I'm going to enjoy any experience, riches, real estate, responsibility, reputation matters, and relationships matter too. And according to Matthew 19:29, when Peter was talking about what about us, and he said 12 thrones, 12 tribes of Israel, he turns around and says this, none of you have left mother, father, sister, or brothers who will not receive 100 times as much. So the compounded interest on whatever you sacrifice to invest your life and live your life well here for Christ, it gets compounded even in this part of the ledger, relationships. How does that work? Not sure. But I'd sure like to have good relationships there with a lot of cool people. That would be great. Well, the reality is riches, real estate, reputation, responsibility, and relationships are part of the commensurate response that God gives his servants when he rewards them. I don't care. You will care. Well, I read Rev 4, and it says we're just going to cast our crowns before his feet. Now, think that one through for just a second. That's the picture in heaven. I get that. 24 elders fall down. Crowns go before his feet. What do you think that's all about? You think Jesus go, oh, fantastic. Let me get the broom out, sweep those up. Great, hope you enjoyed the crown. I'm taking those home now. If you fit all the responsibilities I just gave you, off I go with my crown set. Is that Jesus? No, what's going to happen? Well, that's a sign of deference and honor to the King of Kings. But that doesn't mean that any of the gifts and rewards that you get that are a response to your life here on earth are going to be taken back by God. Are you kidding me? It's not going to happen. If you think you don't care now, then you can just assign all your riches to my account. Okay, do that. I'll take them. I don't think he'll do it. But here's the thing. You'll care. People say, I don't care. You will care. I assure you that you will care. Well, it can't be variations of reward in heaven, because I know how that is here. I walk, when I drive by that guy in that really nice Escalade and I'm driving my Datsun B210, man, I'm feeling jealous. Okay? That kind of jealousy is sin. Well, I get envious when she's got all those great relationships and my relationship. Listen, that envy is sinful. Jealousy, envy, the strife that comes from that, none of that's going to be there. But the enjoyment of the riches will be varied. Okay? Judgment, condemnation, varying degrees. Judgment, evaluation. Commendation, varying degrees. That's, in a nutshell, the Bible on God's two scheduled judgments, two categories of judgments. Our passage talks about us passing judgment. Okay? Three kinds of those. Let's call it this, number two on your outline, our daily judgments. We pass judgments every day. And the question is, what does the Bible say about passing judgment? Well, it puts judgment into three categories. Okay? Let's look at those by turning to the most oft-quoted verse by non-Christians in all of the Bible. Okay? Matthew 7. Let's turn there really, really quickly once you jot that down. Matthew 7. Just like when we were kids and I said, do you know any verses? I said, yeah, I know a verse. Jesus wept. Ha, 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 ha. Shortest verse in the Bible. Well, non-Christians have their own little two-word verse. Only there's a lot more to the verse, but they only like the first two words. And here it is. Been quoted to you 100 times, right? Matthew 7:1. Judge not. Judge not. Do not judge me. Don't judge me. But doesn't your Bible say not to judge? Right. Let's talk about this kind of judgment. Ready? Judge not, that you may not be judged. Right? Well, we're all going to be judged. What are we talking about? For with the judgment you pronounce, verse 2, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Well, that's great. Let me not care about what anybody does, and then God won't care about what I do. We're not talking about that. Verse 3, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye? Ooh, look at that. Can I get that out? But you do not notice the log. That's hilarious. Think of that. That's weird. That's gross. That's in your own eye. Got a log hanging out of my eye. Right? Bizarre. What's the point? The hyperbole of this means if you've got a big problem in some area and you're trying to fix that same problem, which is wood in your eye, right? Trying to fix that problem with your neighbor, your friend, your brother, that's ridiculous. How can you say, verse 4, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? You can't do that. You might want to put in the margin Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Which said the same thing. How can you pass judgment on someone and do the very same thing? Okay? So, this is verse 5. There's the word for us. Hypocritical. Jot that down. Category number 1, passing judgment. Let's call it this, hypocritical judging. Okay? Shouldn't do that. That's what this text is saying. So, when you see somebody, I don't know, out there at the patio, and they're taking our donuts, and they're stuffing them into their pockets, and they're stealing all our donuts, and then we're not looking, they unplug a coffee urn, and they run to their car with a coffee urn, and you say, whoa, 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 wait a minute, don't you know you shouldn't be stealing? Okay, but you're on your way to your house where you're going to meet with all your buddies, and you're planning your bank heist for Monday, okay? That's called hypocritical judgment, right? How can you tell a guy to stop stealing our donuts and our coffee urn when you're off to work on your bank heist on Monday? That's hypocritical. That's the kind of judgment in this text that we are not to do. Don't be a hypocrite. How do we fix the hypocrite part? Rest of verse 5. Are you ready? Keep reading it. First, take the log out of your own eye. Can you cancel the planning meeting for the armed robbery? Cancel that. Then you will see clearly to tell the guy to stop stealing donuts and the coffee urn on the patio of your church. Then you'll have the clarity. Hey, you shouldn't do that. Just like I shouldn't be robbing banks, and I've called all that off. I'm not going to steal anymore, and you shouldn't steal either. That's what we're talking about. It's exactly what Romans 2 said. Do not be a hypocrite and tell someone not to be a gossiper when that's all you do. That's hypocritical judgment. Don't pass judgment as a hypocrite. Now, there's a second kind of judgment. Let's just jot the title down, number 2, and then I'll prove this to you. Let me give you some stats first. First, let me give you the word, righteous. Okay, there's hypocritical judgment, and then there's righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. Jesus has already told us in Matthew 7 about righteous judgment because he said this, well, I know it's not hypocritical. And as a matter of fact, in verse 6, do you still have Matthew 7 open? Look at verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearl before pigs. Now, how do I know when someone's a dog and someone's a pig? Well, I don't know. It depends on how dirty their car is, or how, what kind of shoes they wear, or, you know, is their mustache need trimming? Or what does this mean, right? We need a righteous judgment to know what he's talking about. I need to be able to say, when does someone qualify to be a dog or a pig? I mean, that's severe language, but in this context, knowing not to put my pearls before them. Or, that's kind of bizarre, drop down to verse 15. Maybe this will be easier. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, right? But inwardly, they're ravenous wolves. Now, how would I know? Because they look kind of on the outside like they're real prophets. You will recognize them by their fruits. What kind of fruits? Well, look what the Bible says. And if their life is reflecting that, then maybe they're real prophets. If their life's not reflecting that and it's contradictory to their claim to be a prophet, then maybe they're not. How can you do that? Well, you need the Word of God to be able to define who falls into what category. That's interesting. Even though the word judge is not used in those two examples that just follow the passage about hypocritical judgment, those are clearly righteous judgments. So I do know this. I need a judge. Because what did judge mean? To decide whether something's good or bad. To evaluate and discern whether it's good or evil. You got to do that. You have to do that. You do it all the time. And if you want to do it rightly, I'm going to have to use the Word of God as my guide. When do I know if he's a false prophet? When do I know if he's a good guy or a bad guy? When do I know if this is a good thing or a bad thing? The Bible is my guide. That's clear, right? Judging.
You're listening to Mike Fabares and a message called Living in Light of Our Coming Judgment, here on Focal Point. Now, to listen again or to forward an audio file to a friend, search for the Sold Out Servants series online at focalpointradio.org. As ambassadors of Christ, we're not about having arguments for argument's sake. Our goal is to help people think clearly and rationally about the important issues of our day and introduce God's perspective as a viable and reasonable option. And that's why this month we're featuring a book called Introducing Christian Ethics. And wow, Pastor Mike, it's packed with some loaded questions.
Yeah, not only with questions, but it's loaded with answers as well. And that's important because of the world we're living in right now. I mean, the social, political landscape that is all around us, it's going to raise questions that Christians need to answer. And if you go into your concordance and you look up genetic research, assisted suicide, reproductive rights, I mean, you're not going to find those phrases, but we need to deal with all of these thorny questions with biblical principles. And that's what a book like this does. It really helps us go back to the biblical foundation so that we can make smart and ethical decisions about everything from gender issues, the erotic liberty of our day, ethics of going to war. You know, all of these issues have to be settled as Christians in our own minds as we go back to the Word of God. It's going to help us really articulate how we think through these kinds of complex issues. And that's why I want this book to get into your hands. It's a great book to help us answer tough questions. And if they're not questions in our own mind, I can assure you, if you're a Christian and people know you're a Christian, these are questions that we're going to get asked. Your family, your friends, your colleagues, I think Scott's book is going to help equip you.
It sure will. Thanks, Pastor Mike. Now, maybe you have someone in your life who's seeking answers and would benefit from the solid biblical answers you provide. Well, get this book. Request a copy of Introducing Christian Ethics when you give a timely financial gift to Focal Point today. Call us at 888-320-5885 or give online at focalpointradio.org. And as you stand with us, we encourage you to go one step farther and become a Focal Point partner. As God enables you to commit to a monthly gift, you'll provide the fuel to keep Focal Point on the air, to impact lives in a powerful way. Stand with us in this mission and become a Focal Point partner today. Call 888-320-5885 or give online at focalpointradio.org. I'm Dave Drewy. Glad you joined us today. Pastor Mike Fabares concludes this message with a word on exercising good judgment Thursday on Focal Point. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.